Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott break out an old wine from the vault in Clarendon Hills 2003 Hickenbotham Grenache. Get ready to hear us gush semi-coherently about our favorite wine we've ever tasted here on the Wine Vault. So sit back and relax and enjoy. Folks, welcome to the Wine Vault. I am Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver. Say hello.
Hello, folks. We're excited about what we've got in the glass tonight.
A very exciting wine. And this is kind of thing. It's like Lazarus, for those that are not a heathen. You know the story of Lazarus. This is a wine that we had written off.
People know about the retail store here in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah, it's closed. That's what I'm talking about. What do you think I was talking about?
Okay.
Oh, no. Anyway. This wine has risen from the ashes that we thought it was and is turned into something marvelous. This is a very old wine that you can't buy. Well, that's another reference, yeah.
Is that risen from the ashes?
Well, I wasn't doing that. But this is Clarendon Hills, which is a top-of-the-line cult Australian producer. They're Hickenbotham Grenache from the year of 2004, so a 13-year-old wine. Full disclosure, folks, we originally started an episode here, and we were going to do a joke episode. Full disclosure, right, Scott? Where we knew we had a junk wine, and so we were going to put it in a couple glasses and do some sort of shtick where we were trying to explain why glassware was different.
And then something happened. Oh, the wine opened up. Go figure, when you let a wine open up, what happens? Oh, you can taste it?
Well, the wine didn't start off something that you'd think it would open up. It smelled like pickled beets.
Well, that might have been a bit harsh.
No, it smelled like pickled beets.
That is literally when he poured it into a decanter, it's a real narrow neck decanter. There was some pickled beets in there for a microsecond.
Anyway, it didn't smell good. It originally didn't taste particularly great. We were going between a Pinot glass and a Zin glass trying to say whatever. And we said we weren't going to rate this wine. However, as time progressed,
then something happened.
Something just clicked. And apparently the gods said, no, Clarendon Hills is a magnificent winery and it shall awake. And so, folks, we have cast away the joke.
Whether the gods said that or not, it awoke.
Yes. And we are now back to the Pinot glasses.
Hashtag woke. No.
And we are going to give the Clarendon Hills Hickenbotham Grenache 2004 a full episode.
The proper treatment.
Yes, because we believe it deserves the proper treatment. Yeah, we gave a full episode to Red Diamond. Who knows? But nevertheless, when we come back, we're going to start up down the road of Clarendon Hills. Right back along. Hickenbotham, I just love saying that word, Grenache, from Australia, a country that I have been mildly critical of.
No.
But I'm not critical of the country.
You are.
No, I'm critical of a wine made within that country.
Aussie. I love Aussie.
First of all, you say that, and that's offensive. I don't think they like
that. That's not offensive.
Okay, ask them.
Offensive is what you say.
You know what? Ask a big, muscular Australian if he wants you to say Aussie in his face. He will beat you
down. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying it in...
Say that to... Is it Qualbear?
I'm saying it in stark contrast to your mocking.
By the way, they have big fucking spiders and snakes. I don't like spiders and snakes.
I don't like spiders and snakes.
I don't, man. I would scream like
but a. That ain't what it I takes go. To love you.
I hate. I yeah. You fool, you fool. I can never go there.
Wait. Let me just take over this right here.
Let me make sure.
Stop. I am.
You're
holding my glass.
Are you
aside to look against a white piece of paper?
What was
and
that?
Let me tell you about this beautiful motherfucker in front of me.
That's gorgeous.
You could take photon torpedoes from the Starship Enterprise and shoot through this thing, and you'd see nothing. Because this is dark, dense, and the most beautiful looking red wine I've ever seen in a glass. It's gorgeous.
That's bold.
What do you got?
Well,
what do you got?
I don't have Star Trek references because that's really douchey.
Okay, yeah, but you've been to...
I mean, you know, if I were...
You've been to RenFest, and I haven't. Renaissance Fest. You've been there, I haven't.
Well, folks, I think we all know, if you've read my blog, which I know you have...
False.
You've seen Scott's glassware that I took pictures of and put on the blog. So, with a Game of Thrones glass and a Renaissance chalice? Is that what that's called? Where'd you find a gold chalice, by the way? That's fantastic.
The question is, where'd you find a gold chalice?
I respect that of you. I mean, I mock it, but at the same time, I think that's magnificent that you're so free with yourself that you can have a gold chalice. Do you feel like you're royalty? Do you dress up like a knight when you go there? Let me ask you this. How do you sit down if you're wearing the sword? Does it poke you and shit when you're doing that? No? Okay.
Poke you and shit?
I don't know. Hey, man, I don't use... I mean, I'm not as eloquent as you saying
spiders and snakes. That ain't what it takes to love me. You fool, you fool.
What song is that?
Spiders and Snakes by Jerry Reed.
Who's Jerry Reed?
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway. But folks, out there, you were saying... Who's Jerry Reed? But it doesn't really matter.
Google. Use the Google.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they will.
No, they're not.
That's a great song.
It's not.
It's a great song.
It's not. If you liked it, it's not.
What?
You like Rock of the Westies. If the superstar were here, by the way, folks, we apologize for his lack of appearance. Currently, although he is technically off IR, he's still serving on his suspension for... It certainly isn't performance-enhancing drugs, but...
Well, he needs to seek reinstatement like Josh Gordon.
Well, what we've done is, just like in baseball...
Baseball.
You go on a rehab assignment. So, currently, he's on a rehab assignment, and he's walking around his house with a Fisher-Price microphone speaking into it on his rehab assignment.
Diatribe. Woo! Okay, wine. Star Trek reference.
You took us down that road, dickhead.
No. Oh, I took us down that road.
Yes, you did. I was going... You talked about photon torpedoes.
How beautiful this fucking wine is.
That's not classy, and it certainly isn't sexy to talk in that fashion.
Sexy.
Talk sexy. Why did I say that?
Anyway. Really? You want me to talk sex again? You know what happened last time I did that? You ended up sleeping with Steve.
Hey, man, whatever. It wasn't the worst
that time. That was after you threw a frickin' entree on your lap.
No, I poured juice on my lap, which is very hot, by the way. Not sexy, just really, like, temperature hot.
Some people dig that.
Scalding.
Friendly, you and Steve.
Yeah, whatever. I've already said I'm proud of that. So, apparently, we're not going to smell the wine. Scott's just going to drink it. But if you were to drink it, first of all, it has a port-like nose. I mean, it really does. Raisin... Sweet fruits, but sweet candied raisin.
Port Amarone.
Yeah. But I think probably port is probably a more...
But the prominent feature really is the alcohol.
The alcohol's there.
Subtle alcohol.
In the middle, you smell the raisin and the whatnot. But yes, the alcohol's everything on the outside.
In the background is this earthiness, not mushroom.
No.
There's no mushroom, but there's an earthiness there.
That's the thing, folks. I would have thought, originally, that it would mimic more of a Chateauneuf-du-Pape, because Chateauneuf-du-Pape...
Explain to people what that is.
...is the flagship of Southern Rhone, and it's predominantly Grenache. And
and what we've got here,
Garden Hills is trying to mimic Rhone wine,
and it's 100% Grenache.
Yes, and so
this is not blended. This is 100% Grenache.
But it doesn't smell like an. I have old Chateauneufs out the ass in my freaking cellar. It doesn't exhibit any of the qualities of that. So
let's pull this nose in and try and pull out what that earthiness is in the background. Because this is a wine worthy of detailed analysis.
Well, one thing I will say, and I think that I've been guilty of this. The alcohol, if you bring it in a certain way, you can confuse that with vanilla. But it's not vanilla.
Yeah, no.
It's
this is not,
alcohol.
This is alcohol.
On this, at least this nose. When, folks, when the vanilla is not subtle, it is not an oak. It is alcohol. So be careful whenever you... Well, not that it doesn't matter. It's not like people are going to die because you misdiagnosed something.
But listen to what he says.
The strength of the vanilla smell. A strong vanilla smell is indicative of alcohol, not of oak. And this is the vanilla is alcohol.
In this, yes.
Yes. Earthiness. Where do you smell the earthiness?
Very deep in the background.
Deep in the background.
It's herbaceous, but it's
see, the alcohol is so prominent and so intense that it's hard to really get waft past. I mean, to skip past. Let me.
It's not mushroomy. It's not.
Okay. I you know what? I just brought it through, and right as I tipped the glass, I caught something else.
Time?
See, I'm not as... Yeah. You know what? You're right. Time is... Yes, time is there.
It's time.
It's sophisticated herbal notes. It's not one of these gross...
It's not vegetal.
No.
It's herbaceous. It's very...
Specific.
It's a very specific... It's,
herb note. It's not herbaceous, I guess.
It's an herb note of thyme.
Yes.
Very specifically of thyme. If you've ever grown a garden, and thyme is something that has a very distinct nose, there's a subtle sweetness that comes along with thyme that's very distinct. It's not quite grassy, but it's along those lines, but then there's a certain subtle sweetness, almost like
you thought of it?
Almost like daffodils, if you've got the right variety of thyme. But
daffodils.
Regardless,
that's fine, man. No, it's good to be descriptive.
I love fresh herbs.
Oh, who doesn't?
In the ground. And when you walk by them.
You know what? Who doesn't love fresh herbs? Well, Nazis. But other than them. And they're everywhere, man.
Coloradans. They like their herb dried.
They like pot.
Well, but that's an herb.
It is, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Okay.
So we're off to drinking it, I think, is what we're
Again.
Doing. Yeah. We spend more time on the nose than we ever have, which is not a bad thing.
And
oh my God. You know, it's amazing what can be hidden underneath.
Oh my God.
Jesus H. Christ. You know,
wow.
First of all, it shouldn't be aged any longer. It really shouldn't be, but it's certainly not past its prime.
If you'd have picked this up in a year, I think it would have been same place, fine.
But that's the thing. With this wine,
wow.
If you just poured it out of the bottle, you'd say it's shit because you'd think it's turned. But it's not. It requires so much pampering to get back to where it should be. Good God. What's hidden under here, folks? Mmm. is a symphony. That's what it is. A symphony of marvel.
Let's
try to.
Okay, before you get all freaking pompous and all that shit, let's talk about the mouth. Yeah, I just got flipped off. The mouthfeel. Velvet. Not quite dairy, not quite buttery, but...
Dairy.
Not buttery, not...
Uh-huh.
Velvety.
It is velvety.
Silky, gorgeous... Yes. Coating of the tongue. What a beautiful mouthfeel.
And because I'm pompous, I'm going to use a pompous dialect.
He's going to freaking say, F you.
No, I find that I am... you can Jesus. Check me out.
God damn, I've offended the wine guy.
I wrote a blog. It's called The Poor Fool. You can find me. I have a shop in Washington. I'm not British, no. I am American, but I pretend I'm British with a fake accent. I quote myself quite often.
You know, what if this guy's not really a nice guy?
Fuck him. I'll punch him in the face. I'll punch the nice guy in the
you're
face.
You're not punching anybody in the face. That's not what you
I might.
Do. You don't do that.
You say you do, and you don't.
I have.
When? Well, not recently. Peter Stormware, you didn't do that to him. God.
Oh, my God.
And Scott's description of, oh, my God.
The okay. Fruit just...
Well, it's...
The fruit just drives this wine.
Well, it's beautiful in the fact that it's something that you just can't find off the shelf.
Fuck no.
Only this years of aging
can bring this.
Yes.
The fruit just drives this all the way across your palate.
Oh, yeah.
It goes from subtle berry through plum, driving through raisin, all the way to the back of your palate. And it just dive bombs like a fucking Nazi Stuka in World War II. It just, Jesus Christ, just the fruit of this thing. And I'm going to stop here so we can backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the beginning of this, pouring this wine out of the bottle. There was no fruit.
No.
None. There was none. There was none.
Uh-uh.
Decant red wine.
Oh, for at least an hour. More, sometimes.
And, you know, we do this, and all the time we make the mistake of not decanting and let it sit.
But in fairness, this was a add-on.
Don't make excuses.
No, that's actually the reason.
It is the reason, but...
I blame you.
Good thing we were patient. Because this...
Oh, yeah. We've written this off.
This motherfucker is spectacular. Oh, wait,
good thing I was patient.
What? Talk about the fruit. You talk about the fruit.
Oh, well, that's the
Just
thing.
Hit it again and talk about the fruit.
Are you telling me to drink again?
Drink it again and talk about the fruit.
Peer pressure, you bastard.
Yeah.
See, the fruit is a plummy note, but there's a chocolatiness that's all the way through it. And that's the thing. The fruit is there naturally, but it isn't, that's not its main show. It's the overall mouthfeel.
Yeah.
That just, it's almost like a half moon of pleasure. It just kind of starts and it goes right back. And then it lingers. And it just kind of expands. But it does have this plummy fruit up front. But then it goes into a chocolatey note that just waves into this little bit of tannin that just kind of weaves back through. And there's always just this light little earthiness streak that goes through it. It is, by the way, folks, full-bodied.
Whoa.
I mean, sometimes we say, well, this is medium-bodied. This is full-bodied. And there's more complexity there than I think our palates can really break down.
It's pretty...
This really requires someone that watches PBS
regularly. The wine guy's being completely honest. He's being completely honest.
No, I'm just joking. We'll break it down for you, folks.
We'll break it down, but there's a lot of complexity here that is not beyond us, but it's fucking phenomenal.
Well, folks,
but
it's,
what
it's,
I was asking
it's
you,
port-like. That's the thing.
Let me back up a little bit. I was asking you to break down the fruit, and you threw in all these other things. So the fruit, you had plum forward.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? Did you get anything before the plum?
No.
Did you get a little berry?
Well, I mean, one could... I mean, one can always say the initial rush of fruit is a berryness, but...
What I thought was there was this hint of berry through plum, and then this kind of raisiny, not quite Amarone thing, drove you through your mid palate.
The whole essence is the raisiny quality, the raisiny sweetness.
And it just is a driving force that is so unusual.
What is a driving force? It's an interesting term.
Powerful.
It pushes forward. It says, fuck you. I am here, and you're going to like, and you're going to drink me.
And, you know, I love physical manifestations in wine. I love mouthfeel. I love how I react to things.
That almost went the wrong way, but I would have really...
It is the right way.
Yeah,
it's the right way.
I love
how this wine, the fruit, just it just changes so rapidly, and then it goes from plum to raisin, and it just is... It's powerful.
Hmm. I wouldn't say it goes from plum to raisin. The plum is there. The raisin is that essence that's kind of just leading it along. It's the sweet mouthfeel that's there. The sweetness is raisin, and it's always present.
But then there's a point where all the other fruit's gone, and that raisin just keeps going on.
But the plum is front, and then it gives way to everything else, but the raisin stays along.
And that's the same description to me, just from a different perspective.
Sure. But it's port-like in its complexity.
You know, let's talk about that chocolate under thing.
Well, the chocolate is there. I mean, the chocolate is mid-palate, and it's beautiful. I just got to get some of the sediment out of the way. I need, like, a windshield wiper to, you know, take care of the sediment. Did I mention this was old? It's fun to kind of do these things once in a while, just do these old wines.
Holy shit.
That have no practical application to any consumer advice whatsoever. But it does give you some perspective. No, it doesn't.
It does. Fuck that. Yeah, it does.
It does.
This is good shit.
It gives us the ability to talk about some sort of factors that we don't quite...
Normally get to.
But we don't encounter with our rank and file grocery store stuff. We just don't see it. But we see it here.
Holy shit.
God.
The chocolate background.
Yeah.
And there's some earthy things there.
As you waffle, as you draw air in, what you do is you intensify the fruit, but you also exponentially triple that tannic quality that's there. The tannins are there. And they're ready to kick you in the face if you want them to. But you've got to tell them to. You've got to draw the air in to make them go. Wow, and when you do, you get one hell of a payoff. I mean, that you know what this is? This is like six different wines in one glass. You just drink it lightly, you get one thing. You quaff in a certain way, it brings another thing.
And
you waffle some, it does something else.
Take a big mouthful.
Oh yeah.
But something else.
Oh my God. I've never experienced something like that.
What do you think about the finish of this? It's really unusual in that, for me, there's not as much going on in the finish, and it's almost relative to the rest of the wine, it's almost non-existent, and that sounds like a negative, but it's this really clean, long, lingering finish. But it just happens. Uh-huh. There's nothing big that happens in the finish. It just finishes, but it lingers on and on and on. You've got this big fruit forward, this mid palate with the tannins, the finish of the chocolate, the start of the finish. There's just a little hint of astringency, and then it's done. Except that finish lingers and lingers and lingers. It's I've never had a finish on a beautiful wine like this before.
Scott, I'm going to say something bold. I know that this kind of takes the steam out of the rest of the episode, but I think this is the finest wine we have ever tasted on the Wine Vault.
I can't argue. I can't argue at all.
This is... I mean, I've already, folks, just so you know, I've already put it up on the elite level of the Hall of Fame.
No, this is new level.
Well, yeah, it's on the top level.
No, this is new level.
But...
we would, like, put this on top of your house.
First of all, yes. When I'm thinking in elite status, I loved the Cinque Sapage, and I loved the Numanthia. From the elite of the elite, okay? That being said, from a drinkability
standpoint, God.
This is where this one comes way above. This actually now...
Compared to the two, one, Cinque Sapage, we knew it was past its prime.
Yes, but it didn't...
One, so that just, regardless of how good it was past its prime.
Yes.
The Numanthia, for me, it was a little difficult for my palate. There's a little bit of difficulty there.
From the Spanish style, that black olive, that ugliness. It's an uglier wine.
This?
Is not an ugly wine. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous wine.
This wine is about what winemaking is all about. So, once upon a time, I made wine and got imported juice from California with husk on yeast, so you didn't have to make yeast. Da, 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 da. So I made wine. And I know what that means. There's a love making that goes into making wine. And the gentleman that did this was a fucking government worker.
Mm-hmm.
Who... however he put it together to buy this vineyard. It's a fucking government worker. Government scientist.
Where's your fucking vineyard?
No, I'm a goddamn unlicensed taxi driver.
Damn it.
He put together probably his life savings to do this vineyard. And hand press the grapes himself for 7 years.
Scott.
7 years.
This son of a bitch knows what he's doing.
This motherfucker knows what he's doing.
Oh, damn.
He studied the French winemakers, did it in the French style.
By the way, this isn't French. Ozzy.
But no. But he wanted to do it French style.
But it doesn't taste French at all.
It's fine. We don't give a fuck.
It tastes like the greatest Australian wine that I've ever consumed in my life.
Would you say Ozzy?
Well, this tastes like the greatest Australian wine I've ever consumed in my life.
But fuck that. I think you said it's the best wine we've tasted on the Wine Vault.
That too. But that's still
both. I suck in that motion.
I mean. And folks, with that, we'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. So, folks, we're back. We are drinking the 2004 Clarendon Hills Hickenbothen Grenache. And so we've had many discussions and really gone back and... Well, we haven't gone back and forth. We've just gone forth, kind of. As to our opinion about this wine, and we're not going to mix words. We love it.
Holy shit.
But it's a different kind of love. It's a awestruck kind of... You're a bad motherfucker, love. I mean, there's no other really way.
Anybody who knows me knows that I have a ravenous love for two women in my life. Three women in my life. Princess, number one. Christina Charlie, number two. And number three, Uma Thurman. And fourth best is this fucking wine right here.
Uma and Christina... Both, and your wife, probably all are seeking restraining orders as we speak.
No, my wife loves me.
Okay.
She does.
Well, sure, I'm not going to argue. But by the way, just to give you some pedigree background on this wine, back in the day...
Pedi-who?
Back when they used to, just have, set type, in the old westerns. Wine Spectator gave this wine a 93.
93.
Steven Tanzer gave this wine a 94. And Wines and Spirits, for whatever that's worth, gave it a 94 as well.
In 94, and Mr. Tanzer, who's Mr. Tanzer? Who's Mr. Tanzer? He's the editor-in-chief of Venus. Hello, McFly. That's kind of a big deal.
Venus is a wine review magazine for those of you that don't know.
Yeah.
Or don't care, and I'm the latter. I'm sure Robert Parker gave it 125, too.
I'll stop it, 93. What?
Well, he would have given a high review. Probably a 3,000. He got geared a 3,000 on a 100-point scale. But nevertheless, they're not here because we didn't ask them. That's the only reason why, right?
That's the only reason why.
But nevertheless, I am going to talk to Scotty Lawson's taxi driver and find out what his review will be about the...
Oh, my God. Warehouse. We've already described this as the best thing ever in the wine vault. It's really not fair to compare Clarendon Hill to anything else we've done. It is the best thing ever. The fruit just drives forward on this thing. It's just a hint of berry, quickly to plum, then raisin! But it drives through completely through the mid palate. It's amazing. The mild tannins that come through the middle of this wine are fucking spectacular. To balance the fruit that is huge in this, it's just beautiful.
Oh,
it's somewhat of an odd finish in that. It's not this humongous finish, but then it lingers forever. So even though you've got this disparity of this finish that's not really very big compared to the rest of the wine, but it lingers. So it complements everything that's going on.
Oh.
It's just such a well put together wine.
Mm-hmm.
This is from a winery that a gentleman bought this who was a government worker for the country of Australia, a scientist that put his heart and soul into this and squeezed the fucking grapes himself for years before he was able to quit his day job to continue with the winery. Oh, God. And God bless you, man. God bless you. I gotta go 95.
Oh my God, 95. 95, folks. A 95 on the Wine Spectator, or Wine Vault, I'm sorry. On to me, folks. Look, this is the thing. We thought this was a dead dog when we poured it out of it. I mean, several hours ago, but we thought it was a dead-ass dog. And what it turned into was the most gorgeous thing you can ever imagine. It's just magnificent. The triumph of a wine this is. And the fact that, you know, I've had it in my cellar for several years. I don't
know. It's a 2004.
10 years, at least.
Listen, folks. If you ever doubted the wine guy's pedigree, this wine is the epitome of why you gotta listen to this guy's pedigree. Because he nailed this motherfucker right here.
I thought it was a good choice.
To pick this sucker up, put it back,
yeah,
and bring it out 10 years later.
Well, 13 years later. But it was something that I had some interest in. I thought it would be a good thing to age because of its pedigree. Voila, here it is.
Not wrong.
Yeah, I know. But how great is it?
Jesus.
Folks, I mean, it's a Grenache. I mean, how great can that be, really? Triple B hates this stuff, right? Well, I think the mouthfeel is probably one of the best we've ever experienced. I think
we're in a Pinot glass.
Yeah.
And this is 2.5 hours of decanting.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a sip of this wine, and there's legs that run from the rim all the way back to the wine. It's fucking gorgeous.
Have we had another? Oh, God. I'm sorry. I just took a drink of it. Oh, and it just... the thing is... Oh!
Can I say one thing?
Sure. Well, you've said 80 things.
Let me just say one more thing. If you're really going to do this and you're going to buy wines to age...
Yeah.
Don't buy just one.
No, buy two.
Buy two. You know, the only thing that's bad about this is that there's not another bottle back there.
I know. Folks, I've changed that policy. Since then, I've started buying two of each, but... Back in the day, I never really thought of that.
Because if you go wrong, who gives a fuck?
I know.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
But if you get it right, that second bottle that you're going to fucking cherish.
That's the only negative about this. There's only one of them.
Oh, my God.
And, folks, when you waft it and you get a lot of air in there, it just kicks in on the front palate. It goes across the back. And it's, folks, Scott had his little thing that he talked about. The finish is still going. Scott gave it a 95. I can't give it a 95, though. I can't do that. I've got to give it a 97.
Backstabber. Fucking it's spectacular. I don't know.
You know what?
Even though off air he said 95.
I did. I was leading you into that because I knew you were susceptible. But
no, I said 95 before you said 95.
No, I said
95. Oh, kiss my ass.
I said it first. But why do I say a 97? A lot of it is an achievement award. First of all,
patting himself on the back.
Not for me. I give myself 150 out of a 500-point scale. But no. It's 13 years old, for Christ's sake. When we poured it out, it smelled like dog shit. It just kind of sat there, and we put it between a Zin glass and a Syrah, or a Pinot glass, and we were like, yeah, it's shit. And then, finally, got enough air, and it opened up, and quite frankly, if we had another gallon of this stuff, it would continue to turn into... I mean, folks, where we're at right now is nowhere near it could be. I really don't know where the end of this wine is. I don't know how long it could last in the bottle or how much longer it would go. But in the glass, this wine continues and continues to evolve. And it could be something in an hour and a half, say it was left, and it won't be, that is so beyond what we can imagine that it defies belief. No other wine have we had that comes close to that. The Numanthia doesn't come close to that. Mm. The Cinque Sapage doesn't come close to that. Nothing comes close to that.
Yeah, the problem with Cinque Sauvage was it was a little bit past done.
Yeah, it was. This is not.
This is not. And worst case, it's spot on.
Oh, give me a Chateauneuf. I dare you to show me a Chateauneuf that can do what this did. Nothing can. I mean,
I don't know that I'd take it too much further.
No, I wouldn't. No, but
just out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The Numanthia would just. It was. It was just more difficult than this. Folks, just more difficult than this.
I will say this. This is the best wine I've ever had in my entire life.
Right on. That's the wine guy, folks. There's a lot of people out there that have more chops than the wine guy. The wine guy has really good fucking chops, though.
Yeah, this is the
best. He has really good fucking chops.
Yeah.
And take that for what it's worth.
This is the best I've ever had. Now, this is the best I've ever had. Now,
I'll be honest, if I never have a red wine that's better than this, I'm okay because I've had this. This motherfucker was great. I want to have 100.
What is 100, though?
I don't care what 100 is. I want to have 100. I call this a 95.
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
I'm happy.
This motherfucker is great when you drink it. But then when you sit there and you realize, hey, dumb fuck, it's still in the background. It's still in the back palate. By the way, the finish is still going on. I still taste the wine. I took a sip 25 seconds ago. But it's still there. We're talking about a 45, 50, maybe even a minute long finish on this damn wine. A minute-long finish on a 13-year-old wine. You can't find that. Come on, man. So that's, and I think the bottle price showed $69. I didn't pay that. I think I paid in the 30s or 40s when I bought it many years ago.
No wonder Anderson's went out of business.
I know. But nevertheless, second in Clarendon Hills, guess what? The wine guy is going to seek you out. I'm going to find you.
When we make a gazillion dollars doing this podcast, we're going to seek out Clarendon Hill.
But it still costs about the same amount, which is expensive. But buy two bottles of their stuff a year, budget for it.
Fucking A.
You can do that. It is a winery worth it.
Of note.
Of merit, of distinction. We, as the Wine Vault, first of all, induct you into the elite of the elite of the Hall of Fame.
Fucking A.
We declare that as of, this point, I hope that something surpasses you, but I gave you a 97, which is
as of this
more of a
we declare
an award.
Wait, let's just regress and let's just revisit. We declare that of this point.
Well, that's true. I mean, we're not done yet. Nobody can cancel us. No, you are the finest wine we've ever consumed.
Jesus Christ, you're fucking awesome.
I am pleased that it's a wine from Australia because it gives me the chance to atone for my
sins against humanity.
I would like to say my boorish behavior to our Australian
boorish friends. Boorish behavior, sins against humanity.
No, boorish.
They're naming a card game after you.
No, first of all, behavior. That would be suggesting I'm terrible to the entire world. I am terrible to mostly Australia. I was bad to Australia. And then Jagoff in Washington that writes.
Yeah, him too.
Well, fuck him. Fuck that guy.
The Las Vegas guy?
The guy that gave a 90 to 19 crimes?
Yeah, the Las Vegas guy.
That guy's a fucking bastard.
Yeah.
Well, who could respect that jagoff?
Not you.
Not you. See, you don't have the cojones to call somebody a jagoff. I do.
No, I call you a jagoff all the time.
No, you never use that word. That's the first time you ever said it.
Douchebag.
Yeah, but that's not jagoff.
Same thing.
Similar. But do you call one of these people that write a jagoff? No, you don't. You rely on
you, right?
You rely on me to say the thing.
No, you're right. No, I don't think that.
You do. You love
him? I didn't think that.
You tell him how great they are?
You think
that guy that quoted himself, the 10 paragraphs?
I thought embedded in his article there were a couple points of merit.
His damn article's 5 pages long, single space, and 2 things you thought was frickin' points?
Well, you know. If
you spelled his name right, that's a point.
No.
Did he spell his name right?
I don't know. No, not really, because there was like, it was a pseudonym.
His pseudonym?
Yeah, it was Steve Poor Phil Body. Yeah, no, so no, he didn't spell his name right.
He couldn't even put his fucking name on it.
Well, it's a growth moment.
A growth moment?
Yeah, Rob.
My growth moment? His growth moment? Whose growth moment?
Well,
you got me upset now. Just stop, you know. Talking about
that. You're so emotional.
Let's go back to the
so mad. Emotional.
Yeah, I am. It makes me mad. Okay. You know what it makes me mad about? He was mocking the people.
You never do that.
No, I don't. I never do that. Who do I mock?
The people.
No, I mock him.
You mock the people.
How do I mock the people? Let's just get back. Let's break this down. How do I mock the people?
Whoa.
I protect the people.
That's not.
I'm like a superhero.
You're a superhero?
No, I said I'm like a superhero. I didn't say I was a superhero.
Okay.
I protect them. Like Batman.
Batman?
I'm kind of like the wine Batman. Yes, that's what I would like to say. You're such a dick. Anyway, folks.
You just said you're like the Batman. That is...
No, I said I'm like Batman. I didn't say I'm like the Batman.
Fucking phenomenal.
Man, Batman. You know what I mean? I could be.
You know what's sad? Wine guy has 2.5 ounces of the Higginbotham.
That's what I was
Clarendon Hills Grenache. And I'm looking at my glass. I might have 4.5.
You have 3.
I might have 4.5. And I'm like, yes!
Actually,
I've got 4.5 ounces of this shit. And he's got 3.
I hate it a minute. I was thinking that too.
So with that, what else is there to say?
Well, we'll say that once again. This wine, a 95 from the unlicensed sex driver, a 97 from me.
Who gives a shit what the scores are? This is the best shit we've ever had.
Hall of Fame on the show. Elite Hall of Fame.
Fuck.
And with that, I'd like to thank the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'd like to thank the motherfucker that made this shit.
Well, the motherfucker that bought this shit and put it in there.
I love him too.
There we go. And myself, folks, because I'm that motherfucker. And with that, I would like to tell the poor fool to go fuck himself. I would like to tell the superstar to, you know,
get those liver numbers in line.
Get back here. Because we need his shimmer. His superstar shimmer.
Shimmer?
Yeah.
What's a shimmer?
I don't know.
It's like a cleaning product.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody's going to have a cleaning product...
Wait, it would be him. Yeah, it would be him. Because he's
slightly anal-retentive. Holy OCD, motherfucker.
He's mentally ill, actually. He's a crazy bastard.
He just likes to clean.
Yeah, but other than that, what does he do? He cleans.
Well, he is a fairly successful restaurateur.
Yes, he irons his underwear.
Just that's a detail that the public doesn't need to know. Now, Stephanie's not going to write anymore because you talked about him ironing his underwear.
Or will she think about him doing that?
You're a sick bastard.
First of all, people that email wanting to know about the superstar's underwear are, first of all, sick. And
dude, Stephanie sent her underwear to the superstar.
I know what she did, but I don't really want to talk about it. Because it disturbs me.
You're disturbed by the color or the size of the underwear.
Yes.
Oh my god.
She was.
Now, folks.
Yeah.
It's that time.
It is that time. To break forth the rhythm and the rhyme. No. Anyway. What song is it? Oh, it's Good Vibrations by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
God bless Mark Wahlberg.
No, let's not do that. Anyway, we're going to bid you adieu.
Good vibration
from the wine vault. Good night.
Expect